All right, folks, I want to call this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission to order for Wednesday, July 17th, 2024. Here in the beautiful town of Munster, please set your phones on sung and let's all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, nice to see you. Will you call roll, please?
Here. Here.
Here.
Sarah Dimmons.
Here.
Dave Papalanos.
Here.
Ron Ware.
Here.
Robert Ochi.
Here.
Levon Whitaker.
Present.
William Baker.
Yes, we have a quorum. Moving right along, next up is the approval of minutes from June 20, 2024. Any modifications, changes, motions? What say you?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from June 20, 2024.
Second. There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Either or not, Mrs. Lambert. Yes.
Tom Vazdecki.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick.
Yes.
Derek Dimmitt.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
Levon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. They're out there for everybody to see into eternity. Next up is the chairman's report. I'm humbled to be the chairman. Please keep in mind, everybody, that the reason that we're here is what you see in those greenish now pictures from September 2008. And that's what happens if you have a $275 million man-made flood control project and you're not doing the maintenance and keeping up with the things that need to be done to make sure you have some type of a control over Mother Nature. So in so much as we're managing Mother Nature, tell me when you're ready, Dan.
Dan, I'm sorry.
So in so much as that we're going to get 10 gallons of water at some point for our 5-gallon bucket, we're going to have an issue, but we're far better prepared than we were before September 2008 for that. By having involvement with all of the communities within the watershed, we're ready for each of those individual municipalities to engage to make sure something like September 2008 doesn't happen again. I also need to bring up that we had a ceremony last week in so much as to have the Army Corps of Engineers close out this project, which means after how many decades, Dan?
34 years.
After 34 years, the federal government decided that this is no longer a construction project. That doesn't, I think, carry on it. So I finally got what I've been bugging the executive director for numerous years to get a piece of paper that says we are no longer obligated to consider the federal government our general contractor. They have closed it out, and as a part of that particular closeout, also wrote the local folks a check for $1.2 million, if not the only, one of the only projects in the country where a project of this nature, the locals were able to get money back from the federal government as opposed to write the check. As a sidebar, after the flood in 2008, when we came on here and started this new revised commission, we were also told after $1 billion of damage and all the devastation that happened to our community that we also owed the federal government $17 million. That was pretty stressful. So after that scenario and where we were to as it relates to last month, we turned that $17 million debit into a $1.2 million credit, which I consider that an economic development win, just as we do when we have 4,000 properties no longer having to pay federal flood control, federal insurance as a part of their mortgages, no longer having to do that. That money comes back into our community every year, which is a huge win. So some things to be proud of, not a celebration because that is not something to celebrate, but we're no longer gonna hopefully see that, but let's continue to work towards the premise that that's the reason that we're doing what we do. That's enough of that. Next up, let's pay the bills. It's a finance report. We need to approve the claims so we can move along. Looking for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the claims for July of 2024 in the amount of $64.57.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And in discussion, Mr. Repe.
Okay, by far the largest claim on this list is from Austrian Equipment. They are the contractor doing the work for hard ditch stabilization from Franklin to Main Street. Not Main Street, I'm sorry. Franklin to 45th. They're just over 50% complete. As such, the claim for $739,616.20. The whole project came in at $1.3 million, so just over 50% complete. We have some pictures. If you've been in the area, you see the work that they've done, even including the interesting weather we've had. They've made some great progress and have worked out pretty well. We have a couple changes we're going to make just to a couple of the addresses to help bolster some areas, but nothing significant, and they are on schedule. Following that, we have two reimbursements per resolutions that took place back in 2016 with respect to pump station maintenance. The agreement is, so long as those communities pass inspections, we would reimburse them at an amount, I believe, of $13,000 per pump station. That's for the Hammond Sanitary District. They have $182,000, and the town of Highland for $42,000. The only one or reimbursement that hasn't happened yet is for Griffith. But Griffith's inspection takes place on July 25th. And so as soon as that is complete, they will receive their reimbursement. That's made so that so long as they pass, they are reinvesting in the pump stations and fixing the problems that arise. After that would be CNH Mowing. That's our third cycle. That took place just before the 4th of July and just before all the rain for $27,500. And then Wilshire Excavating for a log jam on Deep River on Ripley or 51, however you care to name it. And then we'll go with Martin Mechanical for a First Street Pump Station Pump 2 rebuild. That was the impellers were bent and the greasing and the bearings. So both now, First Street North is now completely done and functioning. And we'll get into other pump station matters during my report. And then HWC Engineering, which is for doing bank stabilization for areas that were identified by the Corps as deficient and needing some extra help. That's for $38,001.50. Other than that, if you have a particular question, I'd be happy.
All right, bringing back to the commission, any comments or questions to Mr. Repe as it pertains to the bills of $1.266 million?
Hey, Dan.
Yes.
Removal of the beaver dam and over, that's not the big one, right?
No.
Okay.
No, that's not the one. Although we've addressed that with the city.
Okay.
Any other questions on the invoices? Be there or not, Mrs. Lambert, we have a motion and a second.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Oche?
Yes.
Levon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. And the bills, moving right along. Next up is the executive director's report. I'm going to ask a question of you, Mr. Repe, as it pertains to the pump stations and those repairs. We have the town of Highland, Hammond Sanitary District, and Great Lakes Electrical Maintenance. Are those the primary, let's call them vendors, to take care of our pump stations along the locale?
Yes. Hammond Sanitary takes care of Hammond's and Munster's, Highland takes care of Highland's, and then the Little Cal Commission, us, we contracted with Great Lakes Electrical Maintenance to do all the Gary ones that feed or service the Little Cal River.
Thank you. You're on, kid.
Okay. We'll stay with pump stations then. So we're in the midst of doing the PLC repairs at both Grant Street and Bird North, and then they're still working on doing the drawings for Marshalltown, but we have been informed that those parts are, some parts are on back order. So what was supposed to be started back in or implemented in beginning of June, then they delayed it to mid-July, now is end of August, according to their latest scheduling for us. So it's not that those stations aren't functioning, it's just we have to babysit them a little bit more when there's some heavy rainfall, then we know that, and we know the stations, and so we're able to do that. just because they sometimes will give us some false readings, and we just send some folks out there, if not myself, and we go out there and deal with it.
Were there any issues at the pump station over this last couple of weeks of Mother Nature?
There was a high level at Grant Street, and we lost power at Burr South. But that was not a part of the PLC transfer. The PLC at Burr North is the one that's going to be replaced. But the one at South, I think we were in the midst of a text exchange when I got the notification. And that's the great thing about the SCADA is that you can be at home and or wherever, and you get the notification straight to your phone. So we knew that they lost power to the station. We checked the cameras. The cameras saw no signs of anyone out there. So we knew then they had lost power. And then it came back on, and we have no issues since then.
Is Burr South the only pump station that we have over there that does not yet have backup generation?
Well, Burr South wouldn't necessarily need.
That's the one that rarely runs, though. So
it takes care of some of the ditch drainage from Ridge Road to the river. There's enough capacity there. There's enough room in the well that would not cause any damage if, in fact, we did have. We always have backup generator. We can always plug in a backup generator, but we do not have a backup generator on site as we do at Burr North.
Thank you.
If that's a long-winded answer to your question. So that's the bad news about the PLC situation. We have inspections, as I said, with Griffith and NDOT scheduled for the 25th and 26th, which is next week. Those have to be rescheduled because of conflicts with NDOT and also the Corps, and then Griffith. That'll be Katie Marsh Ditch along with the Raker. And then what you'll see is you'll see the final bills and the retainage let go from the Raker for Passion, because if it passes the inspection, then it passes everything that we needed to do for them to get final payment. So in case you're watching Project Tracker and you're seeing some extra bills or invoices that still need to be done, that is the reason why. We can talk briefly. We talked about, well, several storms we've had over the last few weeks. We had the tropical storm or whatever that was supposed to miss us, and then Tuesday they changed course and was coming at us. And so we took care of some of the blockages that we thought we could wait on, and we sort of did an emergency removal. Thank you to the Northern Indiana Mechanical that went out there. And then they actually, because we didn't know that it was going to miss us, I mean, it only rained about 1 3/4 to 2 inches. They staged their machine at Highland Public Works, which is right on the bridge. So they kept it there just in case they were needed. And thankfully it wasn't. And then we took care of the blockage at Ripley, as I said, with Wiltshire. We got great cooperation and partnership from Public Works from Hobart. They brought out a couple of machines and they disposed of all the logs that we pulled out. So that was a great help and a great savings for us on a difficult situation. If you haven't been through Hobart recently, all of Hobart practically is under construction, and there's a lot of traffic going down 51. And a lot of people were frustrated with what we're doing, but thankfully it all worked out for us in the end. Deep River study, we were given the actual report or verbal report via Siavash and Peggy. They have now given us the written report. That written report will be made available on the website here. You guys all received a copy. So it's 216 pages of fun. Not really. I know it's done great, but it's a lot of figures and there's a lot of work put into it. But it is a good start for us, and we hope that we will be applying some of our applications as well as allowing the Drainage Board to utilize this as well as when they make decisions regarding Beaver Dam Ditch or Turkey Creek. So it's a great asset for us, and we're still working on ways to improve upon it and how it can work better for us, and that's going to be happening in the next couple of weeks. We're gonna find a better way to utilize it and make it more user friendly for us. You talked about the closeout ceremony. It was really neat to see as many people that were there, and a lot of the older commission members, and Detroit Vic was there, who I rarely got to see in person, but he's retired. He drove all the way from Detroit with his wife for the ceremony and drove back. That's how important it was for him. And so sure, he had a lot of billable hours into that, and that's good. So it was fun. It was a good time, and they're no longer the construction manager. We had good meetings with both the mayor of Gary and Hobart. They're both new to their position. So, and we talked about some various things that we want to accomplish, and we wanted to make sure that what we were looking to do is consistent with what they want to do on their lists. And so we've now exchanged some good point of contacts and exchanged ideas and thoughts, and hopefully in the next couple of months, they will have some good ideas for us to implement as well. And then tonight we have all our great applications, and you'll enjoy all four of them. Actually, probably technically three, two are from Dyer, one from Maryville, one from Crown Point. And then we will have paving and seal coating will be out. So interested vendors, anybody interested in doing it, or if anyone has anybody that does seal coating or paving, there are some qualifications that you need to be compliant with, but those will be on our website tomorrow as well. And those bids will be opened in August. Those include seal coating for all of Gary South Levy, all of Highlands levees on the tops, so that's Klein Avenue to Kennedy, and then a small portion of Hammond's just between Northcott and Indiana Boulevard. Mainly the reason is the other areas, which is Gary North, were just done, not just done, but within 5 to 7 years, don't need it just yet, and then Hammond's were just completed under stage 7 and 8. So, but those are out there. They will be we will be expecting bids and proposals here for our August meeting. And then I think that's going to be it. All right. Unless you have a question.
Questions for Mr. Repe about what's going on in the field. So were all of the presentations that were done during the ceremony, are those on the website?
Yeah. The whole meeting is on there, as well as the 10-minute history with yourself and Arlene Colvin, who was the longest serving, at least the best I could figure, commission member, are on there. And that was pretty well received, and we're looking to expand upon that to do something else besides the piece of paper that you always wanted. You always wanted to do the historical movie. Yeah. Or 2008. And so I met with the producer and director of that one today, and they're going to put together a proposal for them to do the 2008 event.
So the premise of what Dan was talking about there at the end, it had to do with the fact we're looking at the website to also be a historical perspective. So as stewards currently, as we move on, there's something that's going to be on the website for folks to go back and see some of the things that happened and what was the history that led up to 2008 and since 2008 to make sure that doesn't happen again. So thank you. That, people are getting older, Dan, so we'll talk about that for a while. Anything else from Mr. Repe?
Could you bring us up to speed on the big dam in Hobart and the property owner that denies you access, and the beavers increasing the height of that dam, and the backup, is it causing any problems?
So the dam is located just off of County Line Road. We met with the mayor and talked to the mayor about it. Explained to him that we did what we did, which was do the survey from the drone, and that at this point we would leave it up to him and his administration to go further if he wanted to pursue something further through DNR. The owner doesn't want us on his property. That's why we had to do a drone. Doesn't believe there's a problem on his property with the beaver dam. The dam clearly shows, I believe, it's 3 feet head differential between upstream and downstream. He believes it's an undersized culvert that's causing the problem, but I don't agree. But it's really up to Hobart to decide. And so if there's any more calls or complaints or questions, then Hobart's going to have to make that decision as how to do it.
But that water's been backing up pretty well south, going south.
Yeah, it backs up south. I can't remember. It's Arbor something subdivision. And then it also backs up into Porter County as well through some mobile homes as well, some other homes as well. So
the recent rain events haven't caused that to increase?
I'm sure it has. It's hard because I can't go on the property to see it visually, and you can't see it. You can't see it from any property that I can have access to without getting.
Thank you.
In trouble.
So to follow up on Mr. Gazdecki's point, is the majority of properties that would be affected by not having this beaver dam address within the city limits of Hobart? Or are there other municipalities that would be impacted by that challenge?
I would say it's 50-50. 50% would be affected properties would be Hobart. 50% would be Porter County / Portage.
Thank you. Anything else from Mr. Ipe? Giddy up, moving right along. Go ahead, Dan, and do your thing as far as your introductions to the watershed presentations. First up, looks like the town of Maryville, unless you wanted to reshuffle the deck.
I'm not going to reshuffle. They've all been prepared. I know they've all logged into Zoom so that we could chop these presentations up. So for future purposes, that's a slight hint so that they're doing it right now. This is for the town of Maryville Storm Sewer Network Improvement Plan. Basically, and I'm sure Matt will correct me if I'm wrong, but it is going to take out an existing pump station and add, I believe it's 12 or 1300 linear feet of gravity fed storm sewer. So, we got a presentation here. So I want to see how I'm going to do this.
We can help. I don't know if this is on or not.
Yeah.
Well, Dan's loading that up. Yeah, I'm not good at technology. I'm Matt Lake. I'm the executive director for the Maryville Stormwater Utility. I just want to say that I did attend the closing ceremony. It is a milestone. It is a testament to your dedication as a commission and your staff to completing that project. And the fight goes on. You know, we're all partners that protect our residents from the devastation of flooding. And that's what we do locally in Maryville. That's what you guys do regionally as a commission. And we have other communities here that are submitting proposals to do the exact same thing. And so I thank you guys for your time and for your dedication towards this effort. And so
thank you, Matt.
And thank you, Matt, for delaying so long that I was able to download this and get this up and running.
That wasn't my intention. And
I appreciate it.
Don't let that influence your decision here tonight. But we want to present to you a project that we've been looking at for a while at 69th and Connecticut Street. This is east of Broadway, north of 73rd Avenue. And it's a depressional area. There's a middle school nearby, primarily residential.
Is there a map? I'm a map guy.
Yeah, it'll come up.
Okay.
Here. And I got with me here today, Tim Hollinsworth from BS Engineering. He's going to be presenting on the details with regards to this project. But overall, we did a few different drainage studies on this area as a challenge because of the elevations. And we're trying to outlet to the east to an area called Skinner Pond, which is owned by the Ross Township Trustee. And right now, the pipe shed drains into a vault. The vault has a glamorized sump pump, which we called a lift station. It's not a lift station. It's just basically a big sump pump in there. And that's what is relied upon in order to drain this area, leaving the whole area pretty much vulnerable to flooding. And so our objective here really is to replace all of the infrastructure there and run it so it's gravity fed to Skinner Pond to the east. And so with that, this will protect the residents reliably. I know we had big storms the other day and my power went out and I'm, you know, getting nervous and my sump pump's not running. So I had to bring out my generator, plug it in, run an extension cord down over there. And it's nerve wracking. You just mentioned about a pump going down. Is the generator working? So I like NIPSCO, but I don't rely on them for my protection.
Yeah,
so our intent is again, to go gravity. We have put this project out for bid. Grimmer Construction was the low bidder on it. And it's currently under construction. So I will let Tim take it from there and kind of explain some of the details. And we will address any questions or concerns you may have regarding this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Like Matt Lake said, I'm Tim Hollinsworth with VS Engineering. And we did the design of this project. On the screen, you'll see the location of this project. It is just east of Broadway, State Road 53, and north of 73 Ave in Maryville. And like Matt said, this runs down north of the middle school and connects to Skinner for Skinner Pond.
I'm going to read it on page.
Next slide, please. Okay. Very similar to what Matt said, what the summary of it is to eliminate that lift station and replace the infrastructure with a new pipe and make it into a gravity fed system. Next slide, please. On the screen in front of you now is the request for the funding application. This gives a lot of the same details that we provided and have listed in here. And then this is the engineer's report that we have done to verify the need and the proper solution to this. Next slide, please. And then this is the construction estimate that Grimmer had provided, utilizing the quantities that we calculated throughout the design process. And one thing to note is that we are tying into existing structure. We're not replacing unnecessary things. We are trying to utilize what's out there and do best by the dollars provided. So some additional information that is also captured in this is some drainage areas that were really poor that the pump wasn't able to capture, and putting in this gravity fed will help capture those to help these two residents' locations on Connecticut Street to keep it flowing. It'll also help preserve the infrastructure of the street by keeping the water off of that. Another thing to note is the benefit of eliminating the lift station is saving the town revenue, ongoing maintenance, and eventual complete replacement of that as well. Next slide, please. So other things that are being taken into consideration for this are some of the residents' drives that are impacted by this flooding. So not only is it helping the features of the road, it's also helping those residents to preserve their infrastructure. And the town is committed to doing this already, with it being already under construction. So now in front of you are the plans for this project. This is the title page that we've used, highlighting the location. And then the next slide is going to be more detail of the route.
We've worked closely with the school system too, and their board, and they were generous to grant us easements in order to relocate some of the infrastructure, but they want us to be east of the tennis courts. We also have invested our stormwater dollars into all the studies and all the engineering to this point.
The engineering's done.
Correct. It's all done. Grimmer's already on site constructed.
Yes.
So we're asking for 50% of construction costs.
Next slide, please. Also on that easement discussion, we've also worked with Ross Township as they own the park. So we've worked with them on getting the easement there, as Matt Lake stated, with the school, and ensuring that the school's property isn't damaged with the tennis courts there, and replacing, putting back in kind the fence that it will have to be removed.
I'm sorry, Tim. So Matt, the township and the city, this is kind of the DMZ for lack of a description. So we're abutting Ross Township and the city of Maryville.
Yeah, we're going through a school property first, and then we're crossing Delaware Street into another property where Skinner Pond is. That's owned by the Ross Township trustee, Eric Blackman. And right. They've been great to work with.
So is the township portion of this where the new water's going, or is this helping to, is the new water going to the Ross Township?
It was already going there to begin with.
Okay.
So we're resetting the infrastructure so it actually has the elevation so it can drain by gravity. We're trying to follow the exact same path other than on the other side of the tennis courts, and to make sure that we had easements within to the Skinner Pond area. So we're taking the existing system and resetting it with the elevation so it can go gravity instead of relying on this utility belt. And like Tim said, we looked at lift stations and other things like that. But the cost and the reliability and everything else, it just didn't seem like it was something that we wanted to go in that direction.
Thank you.
And last slide, please. The existing sump is discharged to where?
Same place.
Same
exact orientation.
Well, other than pond discharges into where? Outflows to where?
That the pond goes to the north into actually the Maryville High School, and it travels through their infrastructure and ends up. There's a railroad corridor and outlets into there. Just on the west side of I-65.
So there's really no amount, no differential between what's received now and what's going to be received.
Is this going to reliably get from A to B without flooding everybody in that intersection and the school and make sure that they have access?
Has it been flooding because the pump station hasn't been working correctly?
That's primarily the
issue. And who's responsible currently for that pump station working correctly?
That was kind of a makeshift system that was put in by Public Works many years ago. So we're trying to correct something. I think, I don't know why they did it and why they didn't invest in something like this. We did have another engineering firm look at this, and they said it was almost impossible to do it. We hired BS to do a study too, because I didn't believe it. And sure enough, they end up saying, yeah, you can gravity this from A to B. And so the reliable drainage is key for this area, not only for the school, but for the residents. And then you got Maryville High School just on the other side. So you've got a lot of moving
parts. So Maryville High School from this,
to the north.
I can't get Dan to where we're putting aerial up. So I just want to see where is it. Should be always in the background. So is this east or west of Broadway and the high school?
Okay, so Broadway, let me get over here.
East Broadway.
Broadway is like over here.
Okay.
Yeah.
The high school is over here.
All right. And then over like where Tim is I-65, obviously.
Yes, yeah, I-65 is over there.
And then how many properties are impacted by what you're proposing?
It's just the whole entire area right in here.
So more than five, less than 50?
Somewhere there, yeah.
So
plus the school and the access and everything else.
So, but the flooding is happening on how many properties because a pump station isn't adequately...
The little pump station's like right down here. So this, and it pumps it. Tries to get away from it from there. So this whole area is like a ball. This is like a basin right in here. It's a low area right in this whole area.
The application only identifies two properties that are affected.
Well, these two are the worst hit. Again, we haven't had a situation where this thing was entirely off. The pump can't keep up with the drainage. Sometimes the power goes out, you know. So again, if you follow the topo line, it could be a lot worse. That's just historically.
What's the change of elevation on that 1,200 foot of pipe?
Oh, geez, it's tight. I don't know the exact. It's very flat. I mean, we're kind of thread a needle just to get this to outlet. So that's why I said this is our second study that was done. As soon as they said it's feasible, I'm like, okay, let's go to engineering and let's go for it. So.
But for $500,000 to eliminate the pump station, help me understand why we're not just making the pump station work.
Well, again, we looked at the, having an actual lift station there. So you're looking at $10,000, $12,000 a year in maintenance costs, uh-huh. Not to mention the reliability aspect of that. So power goes out, all bets are off.
Yeah. And you say the school has beneficial use of this new system besides the two residences?
Yeah, the school, Pierce Middle School is right here.
So will it also help? Is the school experiencing any flooding or drainage?
Just in this vicinity since I've been there. I've been there 13 years, just so you know. So
there are additional inlets that you're going to put there?
You're
just going to keep everything
the same? No, we're keeping the orientation and the flow the same because we haven't had any issues like along here that we would add a few inlets here and there. I mean, if it was needed, we would, but we don't want to waste money. We're trying to stretch our dollars as much as we can, as you understand. So we're trying to get as many projects done as quickly as we can. And again, we've got a lot of the things to look at, you know, as you know, as everybody else does here.
So have you modeled it to know that there will be no more overtopping of the road in an event with the limited capacity of the gravity system?
Yes. So we have looked at a multi-year storm that comes through and verified that the capacity that we're running at will withstand that.
Thank you.
Did you guys done or is it question time?
What's question time?
You're putting the new gravity pipe, storm pipe in. Is the pipe size increased as part of this?
In sections, yes. But that is mainly to help the slope of that.
Any other questions, gentlemen, for these young men? Outstanding.
Nothing for me.
What do you want us to tell?
No, that was fine.
Okay, yeah. Great. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Guys. Thank you. Moving right along, next up, Mr. Repay, Town of Dyer. Engineering, park ditch floodplain storage at Briar Ridge and floodplain storage at US Route 30. So are these two separate or are you packaging them together?
They're two separate, but they'll probably be packaged together, but I'll let Thomas make that decision or unless Brian wants to. They did a study about doing two-stage ditches and continuing on from when they did it over there by Town Hall. And then these were the areas that they thought were the most beneficial. And they had, property rights and property accessibility. So that's what they're proposing. And I'll let Thomas, who already has it up and running here, present because he knows I can't do technology.
Good evening. I apologize for not being there in person. But as Dan alluded to, Brian Lane from the Town of Dyer is Thomas Burke here with Christopher Burke Engineering. So what we have is a map of one of the two study areas, two areas that we'd like to pursue. The two-stage ditch project, as Dan mentioned, is successful before by the town hall. Calumet Avenue is the north-south street, 213th down here. Briar Ridge Country Club, Main Street is up here. So we're talking about a 2,700-foot length along the east side of Hart Ditch on Briar Ridge Property Owners Association. We've got about 1.5 million gallons of storage, new storage that would be created by this project. We'd also address the stabilization of the toe of the ditch, which has been eroding. And we have talked to the Briar Ridge Property Owners Association. They were in agreement with allowing us to do this work inside that easement. And the benefit is, or this kind of shows an area, it's a narrow area to do the work. This shows some of the benefits. We get a 0.6-foot elevation reduction at Calumet Avenue. The cross-section on the right is showing you what the existing grade would be versus what we're proposing to excavate out here and create all that storage, the 1.5 million gallons of storage. So we have a significant reduction in elevation for the 100-year event. We're estimating the engineering cost for this is $169,000 roughly and requesting 50% funding. For $84,660, the town and drainage board will be responsible for the other half. And we plan on doing this engineering this fall so it can be constructed next year. You want the other one as well, same time?
Let's ask some questions about this one. I'll have one, Mr. Burke. So you're saying that the engineering is going to try to increase holding water at this location?
Correct.
So there's a lot of water that moves down Hart Ditch, which I consider this a feeder for. So how are you going to look to expand the width to be able to bring on more storage? How are you planning on doing that as far as the concept?
So we're creating so this shows the existing grade of the ditch right now. It comes up here to the property line where at this property line, it goes from Property Owners Association to the homeowners, individual homeowners along Hart Ditch. So we're excavating out this wedge, but over 2,700 feet, it's a significant enough volume that we're providing 4.5 acre feet of storage. And hence why we're seeing the reduction in elevations by excavating this out.
Part of this too, to stabilize that, are you also looking to stabilize that bank? Because the volume of water that runs through there is going to continue to erode out. Now you're digging out more.
So we're digging out more, but by providing a larger area, we should have slower velocities coming through here by providing larger area. But we're also stabilizing the toe of the bank down here so that this helps protect the rest of the bank so that we don't have sloughing that we're seeing in a lot of areas on Hart Ditch.
How are you going to stabilize the toe?
The riprap stabilization.
Okay. And you've studied, because the top of that does look a little iffy to me. Like, it seems like it's making it worse. You know, right at the property line, you're making a steeper slope.
We are, but it was also going to be planted with vegetation that will withhold it. It's certainly not as steep as some other areas in the ditch, but we are confident with this grade that we will be able to hold 3-1, hold the bank easily.
Okay, gentlemen, any other questions with this particular?
From the center of channel to the edge of the property owners, what is that distance?
65 feet.
To the middle or?
On average.
To the center.
And it goes west the same distance?
Yes, more or less. There are some areas, depends on, you know, there's a channel that comes in here, but in general, and I apologize, 65 feet from the edge of the bank, not from the center line. So it's probably like 75 feet from the center line of the ditch out to the property line.
Are you doing anything on the west side of it?
We are not. We have looked at this. We had proposed doing, as Dan had mentioned, we looked at a number of areas throughout Dyer and selected the most beneficial ones as well as the ones that we could work with the home, property owner. So we looked at this area, this triangle piece here that the town owns. However, the town wants to leave this for another water tank. They believe they need to provide a future water tank here. So they didn't want us excavating this. This is the oncology center that there's already a detention pond right here. The town had looked at actually purchasing this property to make it even a wider area over here. It's since sold. We have contacted the new owner about possibly working with the town to create more storage, but that's ongoing. And then some of these other areas get too narrow here to really do much with. So we looked at maximizing everywhere we could, and we're presenting right now what we believe the two best areas.
Mr. Burke, you've been dancing with us for a number of years now. So, you know, one of the concerns is not to create a problem later by fixing something in this particular screenshot. So are you comfortable as it relates to all of the studies we've done and amount of water that comes down this chute through the Hart Ditch past Wicker Park that we're going to have more opportunities to hold water back, or is this it?
No, I believe there's opportunities, but this is in keeping with what your overall goal is to hold water as much as possible along the way, bring down the elevation, decrease the flooding. And this is in concert with that. And I don't believe it's the only one left, but there are other ones that we can propose.
Copy that. So just for the public, that this is a part of what I call Hart Ditch in that is one of the two primary feeds into the Little Calf for the watershed, this one and Deep River. So this one has a significant amount of density associated with it that creates a litany of challenges, but the amount of water that comes down this on events like we've had here recently is significant. Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Burke on this one?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Where the 60-inch outfall comes from Northgate, that's got to be a lot of water. In your engineering study, are you going to look at will you have to reinforce that east side as you redo the east side, allowing for that water, that volume that comes from Northgate?
So you're right. There's a lot of volume that comes down here, and we will definitely be protecting the area where it comes out. There is a chance for it tends to dissipate as it comes down here, but certainly there is a lot of water, and we will protect the area across from that outlet very well. We're also, as a side project, the town is looking at trying to upgrade this outlet and put in a pump station to help out the residents of Northgate. We're going through that right now, and again, working with the proposed developer of this site.
Thank you.
Now, the segment you're looking at stops at Shannon Bridge. What about moving northeast toward Main Street?
So we stopped it here because we were working just with the Property Owners Association. When you go north of this, there's a little bit of Property Owners Association, but there's more up here. It's more golf course owned property. And mm-hmm. then you get back a little, we had stopped it there just trying to work with one entity, didn't think the golf course was interested, and have found out since we did this study that the golf course is very interested in extending this from Shannon Bridge all the way to Main Street.
So how does that entail with what you're doing here? Are you saying that that's going to be another project, or can you do that as a part of this one?
We can extend this project to cover the entire length from Calumet to Main Street.
Okay. So, you know, with the golf course and having more open space, I would see that, you know, that would help alleviate where you have tight, you know, components along this run to be able to open up a little more.
I completely agree. We haven't run the numbers to know exactly what the storage is and how much more it decreases, but we know that there is certainly potential when we were told that the golf course would be interested in it.
Okay. The whole premise is to slow down the flow and provide additional storage, correct?
Yes.
Any other questions on this one, gentlemen? All right, Mr. Burke, moving right along.
Moving right along, the next one is here's US 30, here's Dyer Town Hall, here's Brian, help me out. What is this? Is Hart Street? Thank you. So we're just entering into town of Dyer, US 30, the north side. So this is where we did the previous project, the two stage ditch from the hospital up to about where the town hall, the pedestrian bridge is crossing from town hall to the event center. So this is looking at the CVS property right on the west side of Hart Street. We looked at trying to extend this along the east side, just south of Common Street, this property, but the property owner was not willing to work with the town at this point, didn't want to take it to where it would have to be condemned or anything else. We decided, let's just see if we can work with CVS. CVS has said, yes, we're willing to work with you. Give us details and we will look at proceeding. So there's extra area there. This is providing a 1.5 acre feet of storage and again, addressing the tow stability. So CVS has a detention pond that's shown right here that outlets to the ditch. We're talking about taking the area that's not being used on the CVS property and expanding the ditch. We'll leave the detention pond here, but we'll be excavating this area for the entire length, all of this area here for the entire length from here to Fagan Street. So this shows that the reduction is 0.3 feet of water surface elevation for the 100 year at Hart Street, and same thing on the downstream side, and then ties into our the other two-stage ditch project.
Can you go back to that one, Dan?
Yes.
Does it make more sense to have that shaded area than for the area that's just south of 30? I don't know if that's a structure or just trees.
So this area here is part of the town hall.
Oh, that's a building?
The building's here, right? But there's a gazebo here, right here, and a couple of trees with a walking path along it. There was more potential for making it longer here and wider than just doing this small stretch here.
So, I mean, you're looking to store it, you know, downstream. I was just thinking, you know, before you hit the structure of US 30 and that bridge, because I'm sure not having seen it, there's pillars in the middle of the dang ditch there. So,
right. I mean,
does it make any more to work on the south end of 30 to try to open that up or to provide more storage at that end, just as an idea?
Yeah, so recall that just upstream of this location that you're looking at, just south of here, is where we did the two-stage ditch project where we provided 14.5 acre feet of storage and dropped the elevation by about a foot. So we have done significant storage down there already, which you guys helped out with. And we can certainly look at expanding it here if the town is willing to do that, which they have been so far. We can look at expanding that, but we're more concerned about the CVS. Will they be willing to work with the town? And they are.
Thank you.
And so the estimate for doing the engineering for this is about $120,000. We're asking about 59,650. from the board for cost share for this project. Similarly, we would do this engineering in the fall so it could be constructed next year.
So, Mr. Ripe, I see that the drainage board is involved with the town of Dyer as far as the match. And that's only usually something that happens when it's a regulated drain. Is that true?
Well, I would defer to Thomas on that one.
That's correct. They don't contribute when it's not a regulated drain.
So remember, one of the big picture things that we're doing as we're doing all these works along these segments, let's call it, is to set these things up for them to be designated as regulated drains. Is that something that's in your scope?
So this is a regulated drain right now.
So this segment is, is the other segment for the first phase,
yes. Hart Street or Hart Ditch is regulated up to Main Street.
So it's all the way to Main Street?
Yes.
So is the whole segment in Dyer regulated drain?
Yes.
And it stops at Main Street?
Correct.
Thank you. So even then, so that's more on us, Dan, having to do with as we do the work on Hart Ditch from Main Street north, right? Because the drainage board is involved in all of that work as well. But I'm sure there's a litany of bureaucratic paperwork that needs to happen to make it a regulated drain. But let's not lose sight that that's one of the things that needs to happen to have some consistency throughout the watershed.
I agree. And that was the point was when we did the stabilization for Hart's Ditch, is that eventually they would take it over to maintain it once we did the initial heavy lifts.
Correct. And as just, it's been going on for a long time. I just don't want to lose that as the end game. I want the piece of paper.
Another one?
Exactly.
We just got.
And a check, too, just like the last one.
I'm going to get a check for the guy.
All right. I'm sorry, Mr. Griffin. Is there more?
That's it.
All right, gentlemen, any questions for Mr. Burke on this segment? What's the ask?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Not specifically about this particular segment, Mr. Burke, but do you have like a 3-year outlook or longer? Or, how many more projects the town of Dyer needs to do with water between? I think you started at the hospital around 30, and obviously Main Street is the end. Any ideas or thoughts?
In working with the town over the last 18 years or so, there are a number of projects the town has lined up to do it as funding is available. For example, I mentioned that the pump station at Northgate, we also have concept plans for detention in Northgate when certain things fall in line. But there are a number of stormwater projects that the town has identified, and we've got conceptual studies done for the town as part of a master plan. And it certainly goes out more than 5 years before the funding will be available for all these, but there are quite a few projects.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions for Mr. Burke on this segment?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
On your cross section,
yes.
The proposed grade from the bench up to you'd call it the cap, seems like a very severe slope. How is that reinforced? And then the number on the top of that, let's call it the cap again, is that 10.25 feet or inches?
It's 10 feet. It's 10 feet. This is showing 2-to-1 side slope. It's what we did in the first phase of the two-stage ditch south there, and we have showing no problems with any sloughing or any stabilization along there for the entire stretch where we did 2-to-1.
Thank you.
Sure.
Anything else?
I got another one. I had a question about that too. Thanks, Ron. If you'll indulge. So the 10 feet width at the top, have you guys done any utility studies to make sure? Because that seems wide, but that could be pretty tight. Is there anything in that like top section, the triangle or the trapezoid up there that you know about?
No,
or need to be concerned about?
That's a very good question. We did look. All utilities are west of the detention pond. There's nothing east of the detention pond between the detention pond and the Hart Ditch. The detention pond itself outlets to the north to that yellow line on Fagan Street, the storm sewer that outlets the ditch. So it comes out here and then comes out to the ditch here. So there are no utilities from everything we've seen. We haven't done a locate yet, but there's nothing that we've seen that are any utilities there.
Roger, thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, but how's the water going to get there? I mean, it has to get there if it's going to have a lot of volume that goes into that yellow area, wouldn't it start putting pressure on the, call it the levee wall of the detention pond? Or is that what the engineering is going to do? Because, you know, I didn't go to Purdue.
We all know that.
Some people don't know that. But I just know the water is going to rush to its lowest point. And if you dig it out, it's going to rush into there big time. Is that going to impact that detention pond? It's just a question.
I don't expect it to affect the detention pond at all. There's plenty of width, and we'll have the compaction requirements that are needed to maintain that wall so that it does not affect the tension pond.
Interesting. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Mrs. Burke.
You're welcome.
Next up, Mr. Repay is the City of Crown Point talking about Edgewater flooding mitigation.
So the City of Crown Point's here for, well, as it says, it's for really just to be cut the thunder here, is undersized culvert for underneath a railroad. They need to engineer it so that it's more suitable so that they don't necessarily experience flooding in the Edgewater subdivision and adjoining areas.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Eric's here from Structure Point. We'll be doing the presentation.
And he'll introduce himself and show us a Bears insignia and giddy up.
Put on my glasses so I can see.
We all do that.
All right, like we're ready to roll. Eric Wolverton with American Structure Point. Also have John Kennedy here with American Structure Point. Greg Bukowski, City of Crown Point. And Doug Bright, also with the City of Crown Point. So we're here tonight to present on the Edgewater Subdivision Flooding Mitigation Project, or so it has been coined. Here you see an overall map of the area. North is to the top. You see the I-65 is labeled and 109th Avenue. Main Beaver Dam Ditch, which is the receiving body of water for this area, is up on the north. The location of the subdivision has the red star there. So that subdivision was started to be developed in 2002, correct? Some of the other development that you see on the screen as just west of I-65 to the south, that was developed back in 2004. Flow for this area comes from that subdivision. Up along 113th Avenue flows through this subdivision through an old railroad corridor where there's an existing bridge where the superstructure has been removed. There's old deteriorating vertical concrete abutments in that area, and flow continues to the north and eventually, as I mentioned, in the main Beaver Dam Ditch. So blow up of the subdivision itself, the dashed yellow line indicates the abandoned Erie Lackawanna Railroad Corridor. The blue line indicates the direction of flow. This picture points to the restriction that's in question. That's a picture of the old vertical railroad concrete bridge abutments. So this area has experienced flooding due to this restriction of the railroad bridge. The city, and within the last year or two, has come to gain control of the right-of-way where the railroad used to exist. The next few slides indicate some of the flooding that's occurred. in the subdivision due to this restriction.
Let's keep building more houses, though.
This particularly is in late September 2019. There were 33 homes that were impacted by the floods. Several homes received 3 to 4 feet of water in their basements. Also impact 4 roadways that had to be closed, impacting obviously access to emergency personnel, etc. Here are a few more pictures.
Who did the original engineering on this?
Yeah, let's go back to the original aerial and say how much of this water was coming in, and this is all recent, and you have all this water from these new developments going into the hole that is the railroad restriction. I mean, that's not new, obviously. So, okay. I can't cuss in this. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, correct. I mean, it was obviously there a long time ago. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, the city didn't control that right away. So I had no ability to go in and remove that bridge and upgrade.
Right. But they had the approval rights of building all the houses, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And those subdivisions were designed in accordance with the stormwater ordinance at the time and back in the early 2000s.
Duly noted.
So the request before you tonight is for preliminary engineering, which would include some minor topographic survey so that hydraulic modeling could be done. And then this would also include full design and the bidding of the project. The request as it stands is an 80-20 split, 10,000 from the city, 40,000 requests from the board. As I mentioned earlier, this would be to replace the existing deteriorating railroad concrete abutments with an adequately sized box culvert. Of note, this area is identified by NRC and their high priority trail corridor as a future area for the Erie Lackawanna Trail in the area. And I know there's always questions regarding estimated construction cost. Obviously, that's going to be dependent on the modeling, the size of the culvert, the amount of removal that's required in this area. The railroad embankment is in excess of 20 feet in the air. So it'll be a lot of residual removal of that embankment in order to replace the culvert. And so we're currently estimating that to be between $750,000 and $800,000.
Okay, Eric, can you go back to the aerial, please, that shows I-65 again? And then, Dan, I'm going to ask you a question. Is that we've already talked over the last, I don't know how many years, about the west to east flow down in this part of the watershed that Beaver Dam ditch went under there. Now I'm just hearing that there's another culvert under I-65 going from the subdivision on the west to where the star is. Is that how I'm understanding that?
I'm assuming.
So now we have another under I-65.
Big Beaver Dam ditch is the largest tributary.
I understand that. But my question is, how many more are down there that all of a sudden, when you keep building more and more subdivisions and you're forcing stormwater underneath I-65, I'm just wanting to make sure that we're ahead of these as opposed to having more of these old shiitake moments.
What's the size, Eric, what's the size of the culvert underneath 65 here, that if you know?
So, and then one of the things that you guys can help us out with is how many other culverts are under I-65 in the city of Crown Point, because we have all that growth there and economic development, which is I'm a big fan of, but it's all going east and this is all ending up in the Deep River. We just need to make sure we see how this thing is setting up, how many of those points are available, and whether or not there can be additional storage capacity to be able to not just keep forcing this stuff further down the path. That's kind of what the goal is here. So just to bring that up, not a quiz, but it is under premise of what other culverts are under I-65, because I was always under the impression, at least this is just for me and I'm old, is that Beaver Dam ditch.
And that's a big one for me under the premise that all the growth that goes, you know, west of there all the way to Indianapolis Boulevard is all going through that hole. So it's important that we continue to understand that, how that works, because that has to be managed, because once it crosses I-65, it ends up eventually in Hobart and Lake George. And those are important things through the whole aspect of this, but specifically on I-65, because we can't have issues there. That's thank you.
Gentlemen, any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, I guess your question about this individual culvert that you're asking about, I would imagine, Eric, that was probably updated when they did the widening of I-65 just 4 or 5 years ago, correct? I would imagine.
Theoretically, yes.
Separated on NDOT's list to update to. It has a DES number to do the one that goes over 113.
Yes, sir.
Chairman, I had a question for her too. You mentioned modeling. What is the area that's going to be encompassing this modeling that you're working toward this engineering study? What area are you covering? Because right now and Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, we were also studying the area for the comprehensive look at Beaver Dam Ridge. So is that included in that study in the modeling, or is Eric's area separate from that? And then secondly, you know, the hospital just opened up, I think about a half mile, 3/4 mile south there. Is that area that's being developed now with a couple of larger subdivisions and residential areas, is that going to be impacted by this?
Will it impact this location?
Will it impact?
Eric, you want to go first?
I hate this position that I'm in right now.
We can stand up.
I really don't want to.
Well, you know, then quit complaining.
See, it is a quiz. Here's, I'll answer the question.
Yes.
Well, we did big Beaver Dam ditch. That's what we did. If this is a culvert that's running to it, eventually getting to it, I don't know if it hooks in with Niles ditch or Beaver Dam ditch eventually, but up to what he's modeling, that's going to be up to them.
Well, we were setting it up because that was what I thought was the only west to east was Beaver Dam Ditch. Now I'm finding out there's more in there.
There's several culverts that run underneath I-65.
Well, again, we had the conversation.
For example, one of those go up north, Rosser Lake. Rosser Lake runs from Lake Station underneath I-65. It's a 36, 48-inch culvert.
Right. But if they're going to approve stuff, which is good, and that's their prerogative, that we just need to make sure that we focus on this and make sure that they don't go, oh, by the way, there's this 1910 railroad crossing that's blocking all the water.
Just like Lateral 6 runs underneath I-65. But those aren't the major ones. Those are smaller ones. This seems to be one of the smaller tributaries in this area.
And the pictures you showed from 2019, that's substantial.
I mean,
that's a major
flood there, right?
Since 2019, have you had other major rain events that flooded that zone?
Not to this level. No.
So what prevented, because we've had major events in the last 5 years.
Probably a combination of things. I mean, just how the crops that are in the area, I'm sure, affect things, you know,
what crops?
Whether it's corn or soybeans.
So yeah.
The
field to the south that's there when it's corn causes more blockage than when it's beans. So look at that. This field, depending how it's planted, the runoff goes this way, and the culvert here, and then the culvert here may be plugged based on corn stalks after picking versus cutting beans
is an issue.
Yeah.
And then basically you're pointing to that empty field. Okay, if you go to the left on the other side of I-65, that used to be an empty
field too.
My dad lived over there,
and I knew.
Oh, and now look, it's all houses. All that water is going to be flowing, and that's we're not here to grill you guys. It's just a concern for us that as these things keep getting developed, problems like this are going to crop up in subdivisions.
And we just want to be ahead of them.
We want to be proactive than reactive. So
again.
If the box culvert needs to be bigger, it needs to be addressed.
Then we need to get
Developments are going to have to follow the existing stormwater ordinances in place, so they're going to have controlled discharges. So
Well, I respect the, you know, stormwater ordinances, but they're only worried about this box and that particular property that comes before it. What we're talking about is the entire watershed. So they, when they approve it for that box, it might meet it, but it might create problems elsewhere. Same thing with the, you know, even the farmer. I mean, if the farmer is creating havoc as it pertains to blockage, then that might be a conversation with that particular property owner. But it's, the hole's not getting any bigger. So is it that, you know, the hole, what is that, 109th, what's the street north of the field?
113.
So what about that culvert?
The culvert here?
Yeah.
That was just replaced by the city. It was upsized.
Upsized.
Because it was, it was collapsed. It was failing.
That was the one that went out. You did the one on the other side.
No, you were on the other side.
We did the other one.
Oh, the other one? That was the last 6 weeks.
Thank you.
So can I follow? Actually, I don't think I, so what is the area that's going to be encompassing this monitor?
So we'll pick up at the culvert that's underneath 565. Yeah, and determine that size slope. So you know what kind of discharge is coming from there. And then from that point, you know, model up through the restriction.
How big is this structure under 65?
That we're not sure. I can get that information from NDOT.
That could be part of your study and
recommendation. That would be part of it. Absolutely.
Because everything south of 113th is going through the star hole.
Correct.
How much to the west? What is the size of the watershed to the west that comes into that culvert?
I don't have that information.
Like we're close to denial.
I mean, how are we going to calculate the amount of water coming in if we don't know what, how much the tributaries are going to contribute?
It's a great point that they're going to factor into their
the maximum run. Amount of flow that can go through the culvert, through that culvert, right?
Any other questions, yes, gentlemen? These young questions. Yes,
when
sir.
Did the problem start surfacing? So if it was designed in 2002, how many years did they live without a problem?
Well, the subdivision began in 2002, but it was built in phases. So the biggest event was what was in 2019.
Is it fully developed?
After full build out.
Is it, so it's fully developed?
Yes.
And have you had an incident since?
Not this magnitude, no.
But what magnitude?
Well, the picture.
I mean, nope. Has anybody been flooded since 2019?
I asked.
No.
So how do you know that in 2019 there wasn't some type of anomaly with an obstruction when this is just maybe not even necessary work or a priority work? If you have no overtopping and you've had no flooding
right.
in 6 years, what makes it so urgent to do now?
That structure is completely deteriorating and will fail.
Thank you.
Any other questions, gentlemen? Spending a lot of time talking about what's going on I-65, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Real world stuff. I like it. All right, moving right along. Other issues, new business.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion to approve resolution 2024-09 and an interlocal agreement with the Lee County Parks for 2024 funding to the Little County Conservation Collaborative in the amount of $295,000, subject to final draft and approval by the attorney, executive director, and chairman.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay.
This is the third year of the funding request. They actually requested two years, but as historically we've done.
And some background on who's a part of this collaboration?
The Lake County Collaborative is from the Wetland Initiative, Audubon, Lake County Parks. Who am I missing?
Us.
Nature Conservancy. Well, us because we funded, but they also then go to NOAA to get funding. They go to get Chi-Cal River funds. What they do is basically use our funds to leverage national funds and endowments to do the work that they're doing. They've given presentations. I think the latest presentation was May or June, where they updated us on what they've done by Martin Luther King and Grant Street and what they call the Chase Street complex, and then as well as the Highland Rookery. So what this fund, or what these funds will do, is just continue that work, because as we know from our own experience doing mitigation work, there is a period of time where you have to make sure that the invasive species don't take hold. You plant the plugs that needed to be planted, and you add to that ecosystem, as well as, you know, doing some outreach, some grant writing as well, to get additional grants so they can do Hatcher Park, so they can do the Marshalltown complex, which is in the area between Martin Luther King and, say, Central Avenue. So that's their next phase of where they want to develop. This doesn't account for anything going to necessarily the west or new areas, but I believe in the 2025 request, that is the area that they want to focus on between Clark Road and Chase, which would be an extension of what we did with the Corps for $750,000, where they just, the Army Corps stopped their project scope at a farmer's ditch. But what these folks want to do in 2025, I believe, is to extend that so it's all the way to Georgia to create the wetlands that we have currently. And I've sent you pictures, and I sent pictures just this afternoon of different habitat that's deciding to take hold in these areas, and it seems as though it's progressing. And you've seen the reports with their success stories.
I concur. Any questions for
Mr. Reed?
Yeah, quick one. Is this for 2 years or 1 year? I forgot.
This is just for 1 year. Even though we're in July, that they expended all their money for 2023. In the last period, so this would be their new cycle.
Is the request increase? What's the word I'm looking for? Sorry, brain cramp. Inflation for the products that they use, because it seemed like in the past they were asking for like $175 a year, or somewhere around $300,000 or $350 for 2 years, if I remember correctly.
Well, I think, and I'm not doing their application, but my thought is, since they're increasing their scope to Marshalltown and to Martin Luther King, to Hatcher Park Pavilion, that's going to account for some of the cost additions. And then you have the, you know, the burns or the spray for invasive, as well as adding the plugs to it. So that's why.
Okay, so it's more scope too. Okay.
They're expanding their
right. The area. Okay, thank you. Nothing else for me, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions, gentlemen? Mrs. Lambert, we have a motion and a second.
Yes.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick?
Yes.
Sarah Gimmick?
Then mute.
Dave Capuano?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
Wade Baker?
Yes. All right, moving right along. Just as a side note with that, it's considered part of our recreational component, because even though our primary function is flood control, part of the original charter is that we're also supposed to be doing recreational. So by increasing the habitat, and it fits right into that mountain load. All right, next up is the statements to the board from the floor, my favorite. If you'd like to help us, please come up to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and let's go. Come on, once, twice. Thank you very much. Happy summer. Next meeting, August 21st, 2024. Let's go and hear from the commissioners. Mr. Castellanos, you're up first.
Nothing to add. Thank you.
Are you okay?
I'm good.
You're really?
Take a vacation.
Wow. Congratulations. Thank you, man. Mr. Ochi.
I just want to say thank you to all the presenters tonight. It was informative presentations for all that were presented tonight, so thank you very much.
But you guys, Zachy.
Yeah, I compliment the presenters on really good, solid presentations, and having your act together as far as the ability to answer our questions.
Mr. Wyszlenski, I would concur with that. Having you guys prepared is great because we always have a lot of questions and we look at the bigger picture. So thank you very much for coming and appreciate it. Mr. Ware.
I echo the previous commissioner's comments about presentations, and I just wanted to add here at the end, just great job by Dan and Jody on the closeout event. Being a newer member on this board, it was really encouraging to see all of the hard work that the members sitting up here who have been involved for far longer than I am or have been, all their dedication to the community and oversight on the projects with the Corps and holding their feet to the fire. Proud to be part of this and to have witnessed what these guys here have done over the years, and great job by everyone on the event.
Thank you. Mr. Broadnax.
Ditto on the presentations, nothing further.
Mr. Wickman.
Nothing to add.
Mrs. Lambert, is this the month? Miss Reap, anything else to add?
I talked it up.
Yeah.
Is Labasalon? All right, so next meeting, as I mentioned, is August 21st. Check the website as far as location. Thank you for coming up. Enjoy your summer. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everybody.